Timothy was there with it all. Sometimes Paul sent him on ahead, said, get the place ready for me. I'll be there shortly. Sometimes he sent him alone where there were robbers and thieves and wild beasts and all kinds of stuff, soldiers and stuff. But he did it all faithfully and consistently and powerful. And so the question arises, how in the world did this fearful, timid, shy guy find the courage to do all of this stuff? How did he do it? Because I'm sure you're asking yourself the same question. If you are struggling with the desire to serve God in a powerful way just like that, where in the world do you get the courage? How do you personally bridge that gap? How do you find the fire inside to do what Timothy did? I'd like to know myself. But I think we can find out. I think we can get a glimpse and get a hint by looking at the specific coaching that Paul gave to Timothy. And he gave him a lot of coaching. We're just going to take a little small portion of it today. But he gave him some specific instructions, and I think we can get a lot out of this. Number one, I'm going to take three of them, okay? Number one, how do I do exploits for God when I'm shy and fearful and timid? Number one, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Stay filled with the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up. Everybody say, stir up. Okay, he's not talking about that thing hanging off of the horse that you stick your foot in. Talking about like poking a fire with a poker. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Paul had apparently imparted a special anointing to Timothy through the laying on of hands. That mantle, that anointing and power that was on and in Paul when he prayed for Timothy and laid his hands on him, that gifting, that anointing was imparted to Timothy. And Paul said to stir up that gift. Now when he says stir it up, it's a Greek word, anazopurio, which literally means to fan the flame. Anybody ever have a fireplace? And you notice the fire is going down, you know, it's gotten just down to some embers or something like that. It's no longer, you know, popping up or anything like that. This word means to take like a poker or something like that and stir it up, fan the flame, get that thing going again, blow some air in there, do whatever you have to do, and so that you have a fire blazing again. And so when you think of that anointing in Timothy, that power, it's like a fire inside of him. It literally is the power of God. But through neglect, it can wane. That anointing and that gifting can actually wane if you neglect it, if you just let it go, if you never use it, if you don't stir that thing up on a daily basis and keep that fire burning brightly, you can wane in your effectiveness and power in ministry. And Paul is saying, Timothy, man, don't neglect that thing. Stir that thing up. Fan that thing into a raging blaze. God gave you that power for a purpose. Praise God. And we also need to do that. To whatever measure there is power within us that God has given us, we cannot afford to neglect or ignore it. Neglect or ignore it. Oh, man, it's hard to talk sometimes. But God, through this passage, exhorts us to fan that gift into a blazing fire. How do we do that? How do we take that ember, that glowing ember, when we wake up on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning, how do we fan that into a blazing flame? I would submit to you that we do it by spending time in worship with God. Go to the source, man. Our God is a consuming what? Fire. Be filled with Him. Spend time with Him. Talk to Him. Sing to Him. Give thanks to Him. Worship Him. Spend some time. Even if you have to just take a walk outside because the kids are going nuts and the TV's going on and you can't hear anything and there's, you know, stuff piled up you have to do and it's distracting. Even if you have to just walk outside and say, I'll see you in a few. I'm going to take 15 minutes. I just got to be with God. And spend that time with Him and fan that thing into a flame. Get that thing going again. Listen to some good, inspiring preaching. Turn on a Christian radio station or some CDs you have. Listen to some powerfully anointed worship music. Some Chris Tomlin or some Daryl Evans or some Lincoln Brewster or some Michael the choir of the fire guy, I forget his name. Michael Gunger, thank you. And get in the presence of God so those gifts can be fanned into a flame. Because you're going out into a dangerous world. You don't know what you're going to encounter tomorrow. You really don't know. Doesn't stuff come out of the blue sometimes? Somebody will come into your life and say or do something to you. You're like, where in the world did that come from? Boy, I was that blindsided me. I never saw that coming. Well, if you have that flame ablaze in you, you will be prepared. And the Holy Spirit will guide you through that experience. He will guide you into doing great exploits for God, even when it blindsides you. That power helps us to overcome our fear. That power inside of us gives us boldness. In Acts chapter 4, it said they were praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. That power, and that's what Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, if you look at that context, you look at the verses on either side of that, apparently Timothy was having a little trouble because Paul got thrown in jail for the millionth time. But this is the second, you know, major time. He had two major stays in jail. The first time he got out, the second time they cut off his head. This is the second time. Paul was facing death. He was in jail. This is Timothy's mentor. This is the guy who is a visionary for Timothy. He just follows this guy and aspires to be like him, and now he's in jail and he is shortly to be killed. And apparently Timothy had a little bit of trouble with that. It was getting him a little bit upset. Wow, my hero is about to have his head separated from his body. I don't know if I can do this if he goes. I don't know if I can carry on. He was getting fearful. He was getting intimidated. And we know that because in the very next verse, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, buddy, therefore, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, Timothy, you don't have to be scared. Yeah, you know what? You might go to prison too. That's okay. You're in good company. Share with me in the sufferings of Christ, because the power of God will give you the strength to endure it and to make a good stand if you will kindle that flame inside of you. Yeah, I know it might be scary, and I don't know what any of us have facing down the road. I don't know what might happen to any of you when you walk out of this door today and embrace the rest of your life. I don't know what's on God's agenda or what's laying there on the calendar, but if you will fan that flame into that gift into a flame, God will give you the boldness to deal with whatever He has called you to walk in, and especially to advance the cause of His kingdom. So we ought to be on fire. We ought to have fire extinguishers like mounted on the wall in case somebody just like breaks out and, you know, the glory of God just goes out and maybe sets the banners on fire or something. I don't know. Praise God. So number one, stay filled with the Spirit. It'll keep you bold. Number two, keep your life simple. Keep your life simple. Does anybody here, I have a book in my office called Little House on the Freeway. And not Little House on the Prairie. Little House on the Freeway. It has a picture of a guy driving his house down the freeway. Kids are hanging out the windows. Wife is hanging out the windows. And he's going like 75 miles an hour down the freeway. You ever feel like your life is like that? I live my life on the freeway. I live my life at 80 miles an hour. I just plunge from one thing into the other without barely time to catch my breath. Some of us have. Some of us live like that. Keep it simple. It's so hard. You know, the first time I was reading that book and it advocated really simplifying your life, there's something inside of me that cried out and said, oh, yeah, if only. Oh, man, do I want to see that. Well, it's taken me about 15 years since I bought the book. Things are starting to, you know, finally head in that direction. Keep your life simple. Now, how in the world does that make me bold? Well, 2 Timothy 2 says this. Paul, talking to Timothy, he said, Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I love these fighting passages, you know. Just makes you want to get your uniform on or something. Because I never had a uniform, but if I had one, it made me want to get it on. Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Life gets complicated without any effort on our part. You know, the problem is, you know, as complicated as life gets, we're right in there helping it out, throwing more complications on the pile. We just have a knack for taking complicated life and making it total insanity. I don't know about you. I do. I have to fight that tendency. You know, I get these grandiose plans in my mind. Well, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to go do that. I get this brilliant idea. Oh, I think I'll take off over here and do that. And, you know, God is trying to say, John, you can't even do what you've got on the plate already. Just simplify, brother. And what happens is complexity or complications build stress into our life, and stress makes us fearful. Complexity builds stress. Stress builds fear. If you want to get rid of the fear, get rid of the complications. Keep your life simple. You won't be staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning, wondering how you're going to do all the stuff that you have set out for yourself to do. No one engaged in warfare gets entangled, tied up, caught up in a knot. No one in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so he can please the one who called him as a soldier. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, you know, they had to get this one guy. Oh, I forget his name. I didn't prepare for this illustration. But the typist guy, the translator, the real timid, awkward kind of guy. Yeah. And so he calls me and says, okay, we're going, I need a guy, I need a translator, you're coming with me. And the guy's trying to take his typewriter, you know, and his helmet and his gun, and he's falling all over the place and dropping everything. And the guy says, put the typewriter down, and he gives him a pencil. He says, now you can soldier with me, basically. You know what I'm talking about? Man, you know, if we're called to war, we don't bring our flat screen TV and the stereo and, you know, and our computer and our, you know, pony and whatever. We leave that home and we go to war. We leave those things aside. They're not evil or wicked. They're good things, but there's a time and a place. Praise God. You know, what happens a lot of times is in our complicated life, and as Satan starts to attack us and make our life complicated sometimes, and he brings persecution or opposition or sickness or financial hardships, all of these various attacks of the enemy, all kinds of stresses. Maybe he rouses up people against us and stirs their anger against us, and so we make enemies of people we didn't even, people we love. We're like, you know, where did that come from?